Welcome to Skip This Podcast. My name's Luke.
And my name's Brownie. We're just a couple of mates who decided to get together and talk about our own mental health.
Along the way, we'll chat to some real people and hear their stories and advice on how they deal with mental health.
So if this doesn't sound like it's for you, feel free to skip this or listen. Oh, I don't really care.
Welcome to Skip This Podcast. What are we doing on a Zoom call, you say? That's probably going to be your first question. I'd like to firstly welcome my co-host and partner in crime, Nathan Brown. How are you, Nathan?
Lucas, I am very well, thank you. I've been having some audio issues at my end, which has been difficult to navigate without my partner in crime and all things production, Lucas Goldman.
I wouldn't really attest it to audio problems. I'd just say my pickiness and my pedanticness of how perfect I want to have things kind of just made it a little bit more of a process than just plugging in a laptop and starting to chat. But here we are.
My loud voice was the problem, I think, is where we got to. I can't turn that down.
You'll get there. Just a quick shout out to our show sponsor, Audio Technica. That's what my end is made up of, Audio Technica stuff. Unfortunately, all the stuff is at my house. So Nathan was wearing some competition headphones at the moment.
No, he's not. No, he's not. They're the worst headphones ever.
But no, that's good. So how did we end up not being able to, after 13 months of doing episodes together, we finally resorted to an episode on Zoom? And why is that, Nathan?
Well, life's kind of got in the way in recent times, I would say. We had really good plans to do an episode every 2 weeks, and we got three in the can straight away. We did our 2021 Welcome Back. We did Head Above Water, Steve from Man Anchor, and the latest episode, Harry Bink. We're like, yeah, we've got this dialed. We're going to be fortnightly. And it is now less than 24 hours before we're meant to drop episode 5 of season 2. And here we are.
Less than 12.
On Zoom. Yeah, less than 12. Yeah, 4 hours to our. And here we are because, yeah, life has kind of got in the way as it does.
It has.
We
both just agreed, like, I'll get into my sort of last 3 weeks in a bit, but even you've had a pretty busy few weeks, and I think it's just like work has ramped up again and everything's trying to get back to normal, and it's just gotten a bit nuts. And I think we have seen each other because we hung out the other night, but I think it was one of those sort of end of a bunch of shit fight of a weeks, and we were just like, let's just hang out, let's just leave the show, and what'll happen will happen. And then I think we just had a thought yesterday, it's like, should we just jump on a Zoom and chat about it? And it's like, yep, so that's why we're here.
The power of Zoom.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that we didn't end up here sooner, and had it not been for COVID, you probably would have been away a lot more throughout the year. So the fact that we did get this far without having to do a remote episode is pretty good on our behalf, I think.
Yeah, even if we are just half an hour up the road from each other. But let's...
anyway, moving on. All right, so our last episode was pretty epic.
Yes.
The chat with Harry Bink was just amazing. Like his outlook on mental health, as he put it, is super simple, but at the same time, it's very different. And it's one of those things that you don't think about mental health or mental fitness in that simpler way. And everyone should be thinking about it in that way.
Yeah. I think, couple of trippy things from that. I know Harry through my nitrous circuit professional life, and when we started this whole podcast, I really didn't want to get the nitro people I know too involved in it. I thought that would have been just a bit of an easy option to have access to a lot of like famous and kind of really unique stories. I kind of wanted Skip This Podcast to stand alone on its own with its own merit and kind of do all the hard work. And now we're kind of reaping the rewards of now having guys like Harry Bink on there. And one of the things that blew me away a lot was a lot of people from my nitro life and action sports life reached out to me and said how brilliant it was and the great thing that we're doing. A lot of people I didn't even know that were listening to the podcast. So since then I've had two famous people reach out and say they want to come on and tell a story. And I think that's really great that we kind of continue to break down the barriers of people being ashamed, embarrassed to talk mental health and mental fitness. So that was probably the biggest takeaway from it for me. I think it's tracking now to be the most listened to episode in the history of Skip This Podcast, which is kind of pretty special to think we're still kind of doing better numbers than before. And it's going to beat probably as early this week our previous number one episode, which is Matty Morris, another Nitro Circus guy, security guard, kind of I credit with saving my life like 18 months ago. And we inspired him to be a big tough guy and kind of talk about his feelings. And now he's launched his own podcast in the last few weeks, Zero Limits Podcast. So shout out to Matty Morris and what he's doing and kind of helping a whole bunch of return servicemen and Army Navy guys kind of be open about talking to their feelings, which I think is, you know, is the message we've been trying to spread this whole time. So yeah, I think we can take a lot of credit for getting Matty out of his comfort zone, and stories like Harry hopefully will continue to let people talk about their feelings.
And it's pretty awesome that they're two very different audiences that have caused these two episodes to go viral. Like Matty obviously was the military sort of involvement, and we saw on the posts of when we were posting that a lot of the listeners that we got were like ex-servicers and people who had been on the same sort of journey as Matty. And then this time it's that real sort of action sports crowd that are into Harry Bink and learning more about sort of his Monday to Friday, like outside of what he does in professional sports. And and I think that's really cool that we've sort of hit two different target audiences and still posting those numbers with people who it might be a totally different audience altogether. So to know that it's a new cool 400 or 450 sort of audience that we've added to that list of our already awesome listeners, that's just really cool to know that that's another shitload of people that we're helping.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, mental health and mental fitness doesn't discriminate. It affects everyone in one way or another. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. And the other, I tell you the other trippy thing that happened. So obviously Harry has been doing some work with Cooper Chapman, the Good Human Factory, and we actually kind of said on the previous episode we'd love to get Cooper on the show. Cooper ended up reaching out to us through the Good Human Factory and was like, "Yeah, dude, love what you're doing. Keen to come on the podcast." Oh, yeah, sweet. We'll hook it up. He's based up on the Goldie or up on Kira, up in the kind of northern New South Wales, right on the border somewhere. I don't fucking know. Anyway, up where the surf's way better. And so he's coming down for the surfing. So I'm like, yeah, dude, let's hook it up next month. And then I was in Byron Bay the weekend before last, Byron. So first time I've ever been into Byron and left Byron sober. It was kind of weird. It's different, but that's a story for another day. And so on the Sunday, we're leaving and me and my partner Jamie were walking back from breakfast. I'm like, because I know who Cooper Chapman is because he's a famous surfer, but I more know him for what he's been doing with the Good Human Factory and that message. And I'm like, Cooper! Cooper! And he's like, yeah, yeah. And he looks at me, and because you know he's a person of fame, so he gets stopped by dickheads all the time on the street, and especially in Byron Bay where there's lots of dickheads on the street. I've been that dickhead many a times, and so I'm like, Cooper, shakes Nathan Brown, Skip This Podcast. I'm like, yeah, what, Cooper? It's the first time I've ever introduced myself as Nathan Brown from Skip This Podcast. Like, Brownie, and so we got to chatting, and it was just. It was just such a trip, and I texted you straight away, and you're like, dude, it's just fate. And I feel like this journey has been a lot of fateful moments, good and bad, but it was just so cool. And we chatted for about 20 minutes, and then, yeah, off he went to wherever he was going, and I went back to Sydney, and, yeah.
That's so sick.
That's my story.
I like you kind of downplayed the fact of when he reached out to us because, like, in no uncertain terms, we have been hunting Cooper for a fair while. Like, mm-hmm. he he is kind of, while he's not the biggest person we could reach for, what he's doing in this space is just so much better than what everyone else is doing. And I think when we saw what he was doing early on, we were just so excited by it. We were like, fuck yeah, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of person we want to have on this show. Like, he's trying to do what we're doing, but in a little bit of a different way. And he's using his reach platform. And his platform to sort of get to all these people. And kind of make chatting about mental fitness like cool. And he's doing such a good thing. And I love that you were like, yeah, sweet, let's look it up. But like, you texted me and we were like schoolgirls. Like, we were that excited. And we were fucking Coopers. And I was like, he hasn't followed our page yet. He's followed you. And like, you're like, oh, fuck, I'll get him to do it. And then sure enough, he started following and he messaged me. And it was just, it was great. Yeah. I can't wait to have him on. It's going to be sick.
Yeah.
I was laughing as well because editing the Harry episode, when we left the episode, I was like, oh, you forgot to do the Fitsum Fast Five, but you didn't. You actually got the questions in there, but we just forgot to say the Fitsum Fast Five. But
should we do the Fitsum Fast Five?
I was thinking maybe we should do it in our own episode.
Now or not now?
Well, let's do it now.
Okay.
Do you know the
Lucas, who was your childhood hero?
I think it was like a mixture of like your Kelly Slaters, your Tiger Woodses. So it's kind of like the upper echelon of sporting stars. Jeff Tuvey, that kind of thing.
Go Manly.
I bet Jeff's never been in that three, like Kelly Slater, Tiger Woods, Jeff Tuvey. I think the second one was your hero now, is it?
Yeah, who's your adult hero? I got it.
You've got it now? Do you want to do it again?
No, that's the first. Okay. Hey, welcome to the Fits and Fast Five. See, this is what happens when we're not organized. Well, I'm not organized.
No, that's good. Good intro.
Lucas Goldman, welcome to the Fits and Fast Five. Who was your childhood hero?
Probably along the lines of Kelly Slater, Tiger Woods, Jeff Tuvey, Manly Stars, all those guys.
Yeah. All right, as an adult, who was your hero? Who is your hero as an adult?
I think I did a post recently on my personal page, and after what this last year has brought, I think my idea of hero is just totally different to what it used to be. Like, a hero used to be someone that I kind of wanted to be. I kind of looked up to them and stuff like that. But to me now, a hero is just someone who I could never be on the same level as. Like, it's someone who does life the way that I wish I could, handles mental fitness and handles life the way that I wish I could. And it's just someone that is sort of out of reach to be, to use just a basic word, to be awesome. And it's definitely a 50-50 split of my wife and my son now. Like, just the things that they've been through in this past year, let alone having to put up with me and my lack of emotional grip,
stability.
It's no longer someone who can hit the ball really far or play a great game. Like, it's just someone who knows how to handle everything that life gets thrown at them, famous or not.
Yes. All right. Well, it wasn't exactly
fast.
All right. Question three. You're running out of time. This is like Family Feud. You've got eight seconds to answer the final three questions. What's your favorite thing about Lucas Goldman?
I think now just using where I'm at in life as a tool to help others.
What's your least favorite thing about Lucas Goldman?
I think sometimes I get lost in trying to do things properly, rather than sort of just seeing things for what they are. And I don't know how to articulate that properly, but it's basically I'll spend so long trying to make things perfect or make things the way that I'm used to them being, rather than just getting things done and doing the right thing.
I just realized I'm wearing a Fitsum shirt. How good.
Perfect. Product placement.
Accidentally perfect. Last question. When someone says mental health, what does Lucas Goldman think?
Oh, God. I would be stupid to not just say skip this podcast, just comes to mind. But I know that's a very, egotistical way of looking at it. But I guess it's, if someone just said not skip this podcast, I would look at you, I would look at my wife, I would look at my son, I would look at people like Gus Wallen, like all the things that have been the sort of rock in my life in the past year.
Very good.
I've got to remember
that. That's it.
I don't remember the question to ask you now. So, Nathan, this is the first time that the Fits and Fast Five has been turned on you. Who was your childhood hero?
Oh, I think it'd have to be a Manly player. It could be any one of Cliffy Lyons, Jeff Toovey, Steve Menzies. I actually turned into a giddy adult a few years ago and got to meet Steve Menzies, so my childhood hero. 25 years later, I got to meet him in person, and I was like, I was like a little kid. And then I also see Jeff Toovey quite regularly around the neighbourhood, and I have been known to yell, there's got to be an investigation at him from my balcony. So, yeah, we haven't actually met, and if we did meet in person, I'd say despite him being 5 foot nothing, he would probably headbutt me.
He probably would. As an adult, who's your hero?
I'd say my mum, probably. I think well before I put her through the kind of trauma of the last few years, not including the last 12 months, I think I've always kind of admired her being the glue of the family and then kind of just doing so much for so many for wanting nothing in return but your love. I think I'd say my mum.
Nice. Yep, she's awesome.
Donna's the best. And probably the... unashamedly number one fan to skip this podcast, I would say.
What's your favourite thing about Nathan Brown?
Oh, God. Well, listen, I know I'm funny, but I also know that can be a bit too much at times, so maybe that's my least. Well, you know what? I'm the life of the party, so I'd say... But I think I've got this other side. To the people that know me, I've got a really soft, sensitive side and like to do everything I can for anyone I know. So I'd say that.
Definitely. What's your least favourite thing about Nathan Brown?
Oh, God. Well, listen, obviously I'm loud and obnoxious and that can be, that can grind on people a bit. But I would say... Geez, I'm not very good at putting like closing cupboards or putting lids on things. I've got no filter. Like that gets me in trouble on the daily. I'd say, sometimes just knowing when to shut up.
That's hilarious. And
I don't know how to do that.
And when someone says mental health, mental fitness, what do you think of?
I would probably say that I think of, I would have loved to have been asked this question 18 months ago, because if I hadn't been asked that question 18 months ago, I would have said probably just suck it up. There's no such thing. Now I would say I don't worry alone. I still think that's like Gus's kind of tagline for Gotcha for Life is don't worry alone. I think it's such a great saying, because I kind of live that. I live worrying alone and shit, it almost killed me. So it's like, I know now it's what Skip This is all about is encouraging people to talk, and you don't have to talk in a public forum like we do. You can just talk to your friend. Like, I still have people reaching out to me just wanting to chat, and they just know that I'm a kind of judgment-free close person to talk to and like a bolt. So I'd say don't worry alone.
That's good. How did that feel?
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, I think I actually pissed over at Fitzsim's happy with that.
I feel like that's probably the first time in a few episodes that we've actually turned it back on ourselves and had a bit of reflection on ourselves rather than talk about other people.
Yeah, I think we probably need to do it a bit more often, not just always, like, there's so many great guests and inspirational stories, but I think people do want to hear a little bit from us as well. And I think, you know, one of the reasons why we're doing this Zoom and we haven't really done any podcasting for 3 weeks is because we've got shit going on in our lives. Mm. So what's been happening with you? Why had we down tools on the podcast?
So I think last episode, I think you asked me how Heath was after his procedure. At that stage, everything was all good. We had pretty much done his procedure. The surgeon at the time said that he doesn't think that there's anything to worry about. Everything looks really good. So we're in pretty high spirits, and we even had our team at Randwick tell us that we were doing such a good job with Heath and that he's doing really well. But I think it was the Thursday or the Friday after we recorded that week, and it was we got a phone call saying that they had found some bacteria after his procedure, and that they had to basically take him in and have a 14-day hospital stint, and he would have to wear a little port that was basically plugged into his body, and he would be on an IV antibiotic for 24 hours a day for 14 days. And so that was a pretty bitter pill to swallow, like, after being on such a high. And like, hospitals just aren't made for a one-year-old. Like, the worst, I think the worst part is that he's not sick. So it was just a very early catch that they have to go in and they have to attack it really hard and get rid of it. And it's for his well-being later on. But if you didn't know that this was going on, if we hadn't have done this procedure the couple of weeks before to find out what was going on in there, we wouldn't even have known for like a few months that anything was wrong. And so he's got the energy of like a one-year-old. He's running around the cots in the hospitals, and it's just a bit of a nightmare. But I think it was the Friday morning, I sent you a text saying that I do have a story for our next episode. And I think it was
Ned Flanders moment, I believe.
Ned Flanders came out, and basically I went to the gym in the morning, the morning that we were meant to be taking Heath to the hospital. And there's I go to the 5 a.m. class down at Manly, and I parked in a car park because there was no spots. And as I went in, there was a maintenance person driving in a Gator, and all the gates were up. So I drove in, drove up to him and said, "Oh, what's going on? Do I need a ticket or anything like that?" And they're like, "Nah, you don't need a ticket. It's fine. It'll just be open when you want to go." I'm like, "Ah, sweet." So I went and did the gym and got back to the car afterwards, and basically was doing good for time. We had to have Heath in the hospital at about 8 o'clock, so was making good time. Anyway, I went to drive out and the gates are down, and I was like, "Oh, I don't have a ticket." So I'm pressing the buzzer for someone to listen to me, and it's just ringing out, and I reverse down this skinny alleyway to get back down to where the pay station is, and I'm ringing the phone number there. It's not working. And eventually, after about 20 minutes, this guy comes up and he goes, "Oh, I'm leaving." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." So I went in behind him. He gets up to the gate and...
Oh, you ghosted. No, you're not allowed to do that. That's illegal.
See, I was aiming for a ghosting. And anyway, I see his arm come out and he presses the buzzer as well. And I'm like, "Hang on. I bet he's come in the same class as me, but..." And he doesn't have a ticket either. And so he gets out of the car and he's like, "I don't know what to do." And I'm like, "Dude, I've been trying to ring these guys for 20 minutes. Like, the number that's there isn't even for the parking place. It's for a security company that looks after the roller door. We're pretty much stuck." And the pylons between getting in and out are giant, so there's like no way to get through. Anyway, after about 20 or 30 minutes of me stressing out, and I had no reception in the carport, so I had to run out the top to actually make a phone call to Ash to tell her that I can't get out of this car park. I was getting on the edge, and then basically this...
You're almost done-dilly.
Yeah, this guy just kept repeating all the things that I'd already done. He's like, "Why don't we try this?" I'm like, "I've already tried that. It didn't fucking work." Like, then no one's answering. I don't know what to do. And so in the end, we had kind of exhausted all our options. And I looked at this guy and I said, I'm going to rip this gate off. Do you care? And he's like, I feel like we've tried everything. So I said, fine. So I just pushed on the gate, broke the gate open, and then we both drove out. And I got home and I was like, I walked in and Ash is like, what's going on? Like, I was like, it was a good half an hour, 45 minutes after my thing. I'm still sweating, but I'm like, my vein in my head's popping out and I'm like, oh, fuck this. She's like, don't worry about it. We've actually been delayed till later anyway.
So you've just admitted to a crime.
Yeah. I mean, well, look, to be honest, I think whoever's finally seen the security footage, they probably have gone, yeah, okay, he was well within his right to actually break his way out of this game.
Yeah. This is like, this is reminds me of the Ben Jones episode. Just the, you know, just what's the Michael Douglas movie again?
I want a cheeseburger.
No, I want a cheeseburger. I just want a cheeseburger. Oh, well, okay. Yes, that's good, mate. Well, I think, maybe some anger management classes.
Yeah, that was as good as an anger management class because I wasn't angry after that.
It was weird. I think when you told me the news about Heath and having to go in for another procedure, it hit me a little different this time because, you know, now I'm going to be a dad myself and I think I've kind of lived the journey of Heath and his kind of procedures and in and out of hospital, and I think your beautiful wife and my best friend Ash has count that there's too many days in hospital to count. You need a calculator to count it.
I think Ash did a stat for you. I think it was he's spent about 23% of his life in hospital.
Yeah, and that's a lot. Like if you're looking at a 365 day year, that would be 182. That would be approximately 87 days in hospital, I think. But it just felt, this one felt a little bit differently because I'm going to be a dad soon and it just cut a little bit differently. Mm. And I think that was when we made the decision to just, you know, really just park the podcast for the last couple of weeks and while we're kind of, long story long, while we're here on Zoom. And I did go to Byron Bay also. So
I think the hardest part this time has been the fact that you guys are pregnant and Mitch and Catherine have just welcomed their little Harry into the world. And like,
we met Harry on the weekend.
It's almost been a bit of that recluse back into wanting to keep it to ourselves because we just want you guys to like have a really good experience, whether it be pre or post pregnancy. And so that's been the hardest part is because we don't want to, and you should never do this, is you don't want to burden other people. And I use that word a lot more heavily than I used to use that word because I know that it is just a cop-out for talking about your feelings. But at the same time, it's just like we know that not all kids go through this. We know that it is just a special thing. But the fact that he has breezed through it, like he had a fucking backpack on for 2 weeks with a bottle on. Ash came up with the best idea to just kind of make it a little bit, not only more convenient, not only like a bit cooler than what they gave us for him to wear, but just something that makes it seem a bit less of a hospital thing, but also convenience. Like he just had a backpack on and he could run around and do what he did normally. And
your monkey backpack.
It was pretty funny. he's just through it and it was amazing. Ash had to sleep next to him to make sure he didn't sort of strangle himself. Even though I attempted to say, let me just do it. Like, and she was just like, nah, I just need to do this. I wouldn't sleep knowing that I wasn't next to him and stuff like that. So, again, going back to why she's my fucking hero.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she's a strong human being.
Mm. But so, on the lighter side, here we are. On the lighter side, Heath's all clear. He's all good.
Yeah,
he's back to a wireless baby, and he's loving his cot again. So
broadband.
He is broadband for 5G.
He's brought back on a 5G. Yeah, just be careful, don't. Don't talk too ill of 5G.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, so we're all good. But looking back on you guys, you're over halfway, aren't you?
Yeah, we we felt the baby kick. Well, I felt the baby kick for the first time last week. So that was
that's the best.
That was a trip. That was a trip. See, I'm learning so much about the female anatomy, and it's like it's fucking freaky.
I know, right?
Basically, the placenta has attached to the front of the belly, so it makes it a bit harder for external feelings of the baby kicking. So Jamie's felt it for a couple of weeks now internally, but the placenta is acting as like a shield. Mm. And apparently the placenta can form in like one of five or six different places. Yeah. Such a trip, the human body. So I felt kicks for the first time a week ago. And yeah, I was like, damn, what a special feeling.
Yeah, it's the best. It's
like this little bait. So then we had our 20-week scans, and then Jamie was a bit sick on the weekend, so it was the first kind of – it's probably the first hurdle we faced. Yeah. And we actually spent a bit of time up at the hospital just because we're like, shit, what's going on?
Yeah.
And it was we all of a sudden we couldn't feel the baby, and we kind of both hit the panic button pretty quickly and called a doctor, and they said just go up to the hospital. And, you know, we ended up sitting up at that hospital for hours and eventually got the good news that she had a virus, but it didn't affect the baby at all.
Great.
So she's been like kind of violently ill the past couple of days, but baby is still kind of kicking around like a lunatic in there.
That's
now.
Awesome.
So
I think that's one thing.
That was a scare because I think for us, we're kind of very much learning on the fly. Like it was just like, it was just panic stations. Like you think you're kind of prepared for a lot of stuff. Like things that are easy to prepare for, like we've upgraded, we've got a family car now.
The Calais is gone.
From out. The Calais, hey, listen, the Calais is for sale on carsales.com, and it's a regrettable sale, but it's not really family, not really a family wagon, the Westie Mobile. So yeah, it's online for, tell you what, if someone uses the password skip this podcast, you can have it for $7,000.
Oh, there's a deal.
That's a deal. It's on there for $9,000. I'll take $6,000.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, I didn't mean to cut in on the actual baby stuff to go to car stuff, but I think it's one thing that everyone, I know we did it, where you kind of, you don't want to jump to a conclusion and have to go to hospital when in actual fact, it's such a better response to just go to the hospital. And they would keep saying it to you, like, yeah, just go up there.
Yeah. I the Northern Beaches Hospital has been however many years old, 3 or 4, and I'd never been, and I've now been 3 times in the past week because we had our 20-week scan. We had this scare yesterday, and then I had to go up there for some scans for my back stuff. So I was like, now I know like everywhere to go in this hospital, and it's fucking pimping up there. And then I tell you what, next time I'm in the car park up there, I might rip off a gate knowing what they charge us to park there. But that happens in the Calais.
I might have some tips in that sense, but I don't think they're tips that I could share on here. But
yeah, just
we'll chat.
I've run through a couple of boom gates as a teenager, so that was as a human, not as a car though. Sorry, Mum.
So yeah, what else have you upgraded? You've obviously had to.
Yeah, we're moving houses, so we've been doing some really like extreme Olympic level adulting, just doing it all at once. So we found a place to live up in Cromer with a pool, so that's pretty exciting to be in a house for the first time in first time I've lived in a house for. I don't know. Probably the Long Reef house.
Wow.
No, Mona house. Actually, the last time I lived in a house was with you. Yeah, I mean, that's another time that some people want to forget. 2008.
The term house loosely, I think.
Hovel. Hovel.
Sort of freestanding residence.
Four walls.
Four walls.
Yeah, four walls that we tried to set on fire.
Four walls at the start.
Shit. So, yeah, so I've been doing that, super busy at work, and, you know, about to go away for a couple of weeks to film a whole heap of stuff for Nitro World Games. link up with Harry in person, which is exciting. That's awesome. Willie and a bunch of other guys. So that's been consuming me right now. So haven't really had a chance to really do a lot of dad research. So like things like, I didn't know that you didn't feed a baby water.
Yeah.
Doesn't need any water.
It depends on the situation, I guess, whether it's formula.
Oh, there's different.
Well, I mean, like breast milk has pretty much enough of
it. Breast milk has everything.
Has all the fluids.
Why can't adults have it?
I don't think you should go around asking that question. But then if we had Heath on formula for the majority of his early days, which is made up of water anyway. So there's a fair bit of water in that. We also were on our sense of things, we still can't give Heath tap water. It has to be sort of boiled and filtered just because he's prone to more bacteria. Snobs? It's not that we're snobs. Like, we don't give him Fiji water or something like that.
That's a legitimate reason.
There's a lot of bacteria in the pipeways of Sydney that you and I can deal with and our bodies can deal with, but his can't. So I think that's kind of also what goes into very small babies and making sure that they're not open to catching anything that they aren't used to.
Yeah. They don't really eat anything either.
Well, no, they don't eat much.
It's fucking weird.
You kind of only start on solids around sort of the earliest point, like 6 months.
Yeah, and those gross fucking shitty nappies don't smell.
That's the best. It's the best time when they don't stink.
But, like, what would they start smelling when they start eating?
Yeah, pretty much.
My kid's not eating nothing.
And, I mean, in actual fact, I say that, but their very first poo, which is called meconium, is like a really thick, tarry thing, and that stinks.
And what, is that one or, like, just, is that a period of pooing?
No, meconium? I mean, it's essentially,
is it their first ever shit?
First ever. It's sort of like a build-up of stuff inside them when they're inside, and basically it's just this dark, tarry, sort of really sticky, formed thing. And it's really dark and it stinks, as you can imagine.
So that you're describing my shit after a 2-day bender.
You know what? You're screwing your face up at it, but to someone like me and Ash, like, the next time we sort of go down that road and the next time we have a baby, if that happens, that's just going to be the most happiest time for us, because when that happens, that means everything's all good, everything's working.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably the only thing I think about right now that really, like, assuming happy, healthy baby, the thing that scares me the most is, like, my weak bowel and sensitivity to smell. Like, thought of changing a shitty nappy is like something that like gives me anxiety.
It gets easier. Like, honestly, like when I met Ash, she couldn't even say the word poo. And I think getting a dog really helped that. You still don't pick up your dog's poos, but getting
poop and run.
Getting a dog, I think, sort of weakened it a little bit. But then when it becomes something that like is your flesh and blood, like, you end up just looking past it.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring on the sleep deprivation. I've been depriving myself of sleep since as long as I can remember.
You've been prepping.
I've been prepping for this, but everyone says you don't know that, this level of tiredness. But we'll see. Challenge accepted on that front.
Again, like, I've met so many people who have had kids, and I think I made a bold claim once that, like, I would never complain about lack of sleep because of a child. And I'm going to stick to that. Like, I definitely have had days where I've been the most tired I've ever been because of, like, Heath's been up all night or something like that. But I never at any point felt sort of in a moment where I was complaining. Like, I would never complain about it. Like, you kind of get past that and you end up being, it's like a thankful hurt, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it's like, you're that tired, but at the same time, all it takes is like his eyes to look you in the eyes, or a smile or something like that, and it's just makes it all so worth it. And just the things that have been shit in the past like hour just disappear because he smiled at you.
That's good. All right, well, that's exciting. 22 weeks incoming, baby Brown, little girl.
I can't wait. But anyway, keep your questions coming in the future. I'm happy to answer it.
Yep.
I do agree with what you said earlier, is the amount you learn about the female anatomy is just incredible. And it makes you realize how much they skipped over when you're at school. I think I mentioned that. I think I mentioned that when we started this episode. It was just like the way that conception happens was just the most basic form that it could be when we're at school. It's like, this happens. But there's so many in between.
Then a placenta turns up.
Most people do that. We like to do things differently over here. But
you're a magazine. That's a story that's already been told in episode two.
Anyway, you can...
What else do we have to do?
We've got a massive week this week, don't we? We've got two charity events.
Yes, so two charity events.
Friday is Loop the Lake with Fitzum. Going great guns. I think we're about 1,000 at the moment, about 1,000 short of the target, which I think is 20 grand. Yep. So
we're
very close. I think we'll get through it. I think the raffle's starting to take off, and you can find all those details in our bio. It's over 10 grand worth of prizes, and some really good prizes in there, from electronics to artworks and mental health first aid courses. And Mitch
Woods, I need to win a pair of those. I need to win a pair of those Audio Technica headphones, because I can't hear shit with these fucking shitty airport ones right now.
You should, next show, you should just take your set of headphones with you, and then we're done. But then you need to remember to bring the headphones to each episode.
The struggle. I might need a couple pairs.
Anyway, Luke, the Lake. I've been doing some running training. I don't normally run, so it's a test. It's a very different. I'm feeling it in the muscles, because it is a different sort of group than I'm used to sort of exercising. But I think it'll be right, as long as, like, the torrential rain kind of eases a little bit. It might be a bit tough doing it in the rain, but I then look at the paddle boarders and I think, oh, well, they've got it worse than me.
Yeah.
Sorry, Gray.
Well, I bought two sets of double D batteries for my megaphone, so my training is complete for the I've ruled myself out due to back injury, so I will be with Clint Welsh from Chubby Welsh Autos. I'll be manning the site and the athlete recovery tent.
Yeah, I think we've had a couple of people just in the last couple of days just pull up a bit lame. So there'll still be a lot of people,
including the co-organizer Adam Peacock.
I didn't want to mention Adam, but Adam will be there with you. He'll be on the megaphone too, and we're obviously going to record a fair bit down there while we're there, and we'll chat to Adam and talk about Jaffa and all that sort of stuff and what we're doing. And I'm really looking forward to that. And then the next day or the next night, you're involved in the 24-hour swim.
Yeah, the head above water swim. So it starts at, I think, 3 p.m. on the Saturday. So I think I'm signed up to do an 11 p.m. swim and a 3 a.m. swim. It's going to be fun with my back, but I think I can just be there and be in the water. So
it should be warmer in the water.
I'm not going to lie, I'm not exactly looking forward to it. You know, when in the fits of Fast Five earlier, I mentioned that sometimes I just need to shut my mouth and not talk. And this is the instance of me talking and committing to this and committing to it twice. So, I'll be there for a back-to-back days of charity. And then scored an invite from Wardy, who was our guest number two of season two, I think. Is that right?
Guest number three.
So we did us, Steve from Mananka, and Wardy from Head Above Water. So I've committed to him. So they're doing great things. They're closing in on a six-figure donation figure to Gods for Life and mental fitness. So there's a whole host of those people that we've met along this journey. We'll be down there. Steve Gamble from Manning to Pete Burge from Pier here, who's one of the founding fathers of the Head Above Water, who actually introduced me to Wardy, the founder. So if nothing else, it's going to be a great time to kind of mingle with a lot of people in the same space and meet a bunch of people. Meditation for Men is going to be down there. Then that swimming podcast is down there as well. So yeah, that's going to be a busy weekend.
Sick. And
you're not going to be there because you're getting away for the weekend yourself.
I stitched you up. When we were talking to Wardy, I kind of agreed at the time that we would do this knowing that I'm going to be away that weekend. So I think you can probably blame me for you having to be involved in that and on your own without me. But
it's a good course, mate. Gus Wallen and co will be down there. And, yeah, it's absolutely brilliant course. And we've got to practice what we preach, right? That's what this is.
I'm super proud of you, even with your back issues getting in the water. It's probably going to be good for you.
Yeah. It's easier to do that than run and bike and paddleboard the day before. So, yeah, I'll be support staff on Friday and athlete on Saturday. Athlete, inverted commas.
You're an athlete, finally. Well, on that note, I think we should probably wrap this up, Nath. It's been a good catch up.
What can people do to donate?
So
we'll put some links up.
Well, links are all in our bio. On our site, we've just
swipe up.
We don't have a swipe up. We're not
swipe
that cool.
Swipe left, swipe right.
We've got we've just got the raffle running on our page, on our bio. Yeah,
we'll post some links
but
somewhere.
All the money goes to the same spot. So the only difference is that if you're donating if you're buying raffle tickets, it's as good as a donation and it goes straight into the funds that are being raised by FITSM. And you can win a prize if you're lucky enough.
Yeah, you win some shit.
Or alternatively, if you do want to just donate, just go to FITSM's link in their bio on Facebook or Instagram, and then they've got links to the actual donation page, which is on Facebook.
Tax deductible.
Anything over $2, I think.
I'll tell you a quick shit story. So you know how I do my other little side podcast, the Micah and Brownie Show? Over on the Twitch channel. Yeah, it's the Twitch. Over on the Twitch.
On the Facebook.
Over on the YouTube. Yeah, over on the Facebook. Buddy, we got a sponsor, actually. So I am a sponsored talker now, and we're sponsored by TaxAct.
Double.
Which is an American company, so you can do your tax and win shit. Yeah. Sorry. Well,
to all our Australian listeners, you can't
that use means
that.
Nothing. Yeah. Hey, but there's 23% of our listeners are not in Australia. So
there you go. So you just do it. Do I get a cut from this? Because you've just obviously plugged that on our show now. So
I don't get a cut of nothing. I do that show like this. I do this that show for free. It's a labor of love.
Oh, okay. Well, on that note.
It is time consuming.
It is
so
time.
On that note.
We've got ahead.
Well, buddy, it's great to see you.
It's been good to catch up, I think, regardless of whether we're recording it. It's been good to see your face.
Absolutely.
Say hi to Jamie for me.
I will say hi to Ash and Heath and Clive for me.
I will.
And then I'll see you on Friday at the Loop the Lake.
Can't wait. Chat then, dude.
Love you, buddy.
Love you, man.
Love you, bye.